TG Black.
Ooh.
If you want to give a little introduction of yourself, yeah, I guess I just said who you are, and the introduction will be this interview. But if you have anything to say to start this off.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm TG Black and I make music.
Yeah, amazing. No, that's all we need. Spotify and those things, but she has a lot of SoundCloud songs that are very good. And yeah, I was very excited to see because I like re-listened to Cap Chronicles and Love Being Used like so much. I was like, she's giving us crumbs. I need a little more. So very high. I don't know if I just like never scrolled down to see that, or if you added the SoundCloud link later, or I think I just like never looked up on SoundCloud. So I found that you have more, and I was so happy. Was there like something that, like, how did you start? Was it?
I like got a MacBook in high school and it had GarageBand. And a friend of mine wanted to start rapping, and I was just helping him out. And then I found out it was fun, so I just kept doing it, but I wasn't putting out music. And then I got like the Focusrite Solo, which is like the most like stereotypical like, thing that you start with when you start making music. And just from there, I just like kept doing it because it was fun and putting out music on SoundCloud like every once in a while when I felt like it.
Yeah. Okay,
And this
nice. Yeah, I was gonna ask. Yeah, okay, so it started with GarageBand. Because you still recently you like produced something, I forget the name of it, or like you still produce stuff, I assume. What do you use now? Do you still use
I
GarageBand?
still use Logic Pro, but I also like use Ableton. I find like I like Ableton more for production, so I'm trying to use Ableton more for production and like Logic Pro for vocals.
Yeah, okay, nice. What do you remember, like, I guess was there something that drew you to music, like do you what was the first introduction to like how you fell in love with music?
Music and stuff like that. I will say that the thing that genuinely like actually got me rapping like immediately made my first song. I watched Straight Out of Compton and I was like, oh my gosh, I want to be a rapper, which is so corny. But like I watched the movie and I immediately was like, I have to start rapping now.
Goodness.
Because my friends had already been doing the movie and I was like, I need to do this.
Okay, that's so nice. And you're how young were you young?
Probably like 16, maybe.
Yeah.
Like I was still in high school. I was like on break.
Okay.
So like Straight Out of Compton with like my cousins and I was like, I need this. And I just went into it. I knew you could find like beats on YouTube and stuff. So I just like went on YouTube and like found beats for all the artists I was really listening to at that time and like just started making music.
Nice. Okay. Who were the artists that you were listening to at that time? Like, do you remember any, like, or I guess was it just.
Specifically, I was a huge Roy Woods fan at the time. He
Canada.
like, yeah, it was like around the time, or just like maybe a year after he released his Exes EP. Hey, that is like one of my favorite EPs of all time. And I listened to that and I was like, I want to sound just like Roy Woods, different a lot of Roy Woods beats in the beginning. And then, like, I kind of like got more into like rapping and like boom bap stuff. So I like went down that path and started listening to like a lot of like producers, listening to like a lot of 90s hip hop and stuff like that.
Oh my goodness. Because your first things that you put out, I believe, or maybe not like the absolute first, because very you're good at genre bending. I saw one of your tweets that was like filled rapper to rock pipeline, and it was like a Jean Dawson. But your
Me,
first
yeah.
things that like you put out were like very like SoundCloud-esque, like indie, sad, like the indie and alternative rock. It was since it was 5 years ago, that sort of was a lot of like the music on SoundCloud that was getting big was things like that. Was there like a reason?
Already kind of liked like alternative music, but then at the same time, like it was like when Lil Peep, Smokestack, and like Young Tracy and all those
Yeah.
people rapping on those like super like guitar, like trap beats. Yeah. And I was just kind of like, I really enjoyed the music at the time. And I was like, I can do this. So why don't I just try and do it? Because I was already listening to it. And I kind of like had sort of like a similar background. Like I love watching interviews of artists. I just watch interviews and be like, OMG, we have a lot of the same taste in music. Mm-hmm. And do the same thing too.
Yeah.
And
you did. Yeah. Amazing. That was one thing too. I was like trying to find interviews with you and I couldn't find any. So I was like, but I'm curious. I want to know like how your sound kind of came to be. The ones you do on SoundCloud, I'm assuming they're sort of just like things that you just put together and you're like, I don't feel ready maybe to put it out for everyone. So let me just put it here, which SoundCloud is great for that.
When I first like started like really getting into music, like I was listening to a lot of people on SoundCloud,
right.
Like a lot of producers. Like I'd say I caught like the lo-fi, but when like lo-fi hip hop and all of that was coming up, I like started listening to that like just maybe like a couple months, maybe a year at most before it like blew up.
Right.
So I was listening to like Beside You, Swam, like a bunch of like lo-fi producers who were just like making lo-fi flips or like flipping like old rap songs and putting them on like super chill lo-fi beats.
Right.
And I like really, really liked it. Like the first song that I have on my SoundCloud is actually like a Beside You beat because like he was my favorite like lo-fi producer at the time, like hands down. I loved everything he'd put out and I was like, this is like amazing. This is the kind of music I want to make. And I was also listening to like rappers who rapped on those kind of beats. And I was like, oh, I want to do this. So with the SoundCloud thing, I just always like felt like my music wasn't like worth putting out on Spotify. Like it was pointless to spend the money to even do that because nobody was listening and nobody like really cared that much. And I didn't mind just like doing it on SoundCloud. Is like if it blows up, whatever. Like if it doesn't, whatever. So I just make music and I'm very like nitpicky, so I'll just like give a few things the things that I feel like are the most listenable, and then I'll just keep the rest on my laptop for myself.
Right.
Do
you feel like you're saying you're very nitpicky, is your like creative process sort of like, do you leave things and like go back, or are there like a lot of things kind of like in the vault that you just like leave and don't really put out because you're like worried, or like do you try and like finish your projects?
I'd say my biggest issue is like I'm my biggest hater, like honestly, like I am mean as hell to myself, is to realize, very mean. So it's not even that I don't want to, I'll just be making something and be like, damn, this is trash, and I'll just never touch it. I love being used. Like it was sitting on my laptop for months before I even put it on my Instagram just to show people. I was like, this is trash. I was like, this song, no, I'm being so serious. I fought myself trying to delete it. I delete a bunch of music as well. I don't know if it's me being a perfectionist or I'm just too overcritical, but my biggest issue is that I hate on myself, honestly. Like if I had more self-confidence, I'd probably have more songs on Spotify and SoundCloud, because there are a lot of songs that I'll put up and delete, or like they're just like private on there that I've put out throughout the years and I've decided nobody needs to hear these anymore, and I'll just like
hold
those.
No, that's a very like real thing with a lot of artists, with like amazing artists. Like that's a very real thing. It's so sad to hear from someone who's like was fangirling over your music. Like I keep bringing up Love Being Used, and that's like very interesting. But I wanted to ask, just because that is something that you sort of talk about, like how there's like a lot of unfinished projects I see sometimes on your social media, because like for people who are fans, you're like, just I don't care, drop it now, like I love it.
Working on my helper, I'ma stay sadder. Littering my brain with these drugs that make me madder. Cutting out my heart shit, I was a cadaver. Cocaine scabbing straight blow to the chest. I'm old habits and some baggage on my belt. I'ma get you ready, you can love someone else. Something like a filler for rotation on the shelf. Love being used, I don't know nothing else. Like, change my way, just me, myself, and the same mistakes. last kiss wagons. Trust our heart too big and the space won't run out. Yes, I know better, not everyone is sane. Taking no heart and I give a new slate. What can I say? I'm stuck in my ways. Love used and left on the way. Shit, it hurts less when you know it's on the way. No, it's not true, but these actions do say. Give another piece, I can waste away.
To understand more about fashion, we asked CITR student executive and fashion expert Jonathan Q what fashion means to him.
Like, it's just aesthetically something that's so ostentatious. Typically. I mean, because of course, I mean, it's also, you know, I mean, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism as opposed to someone who buys, like, you know, all the clothes. Let's say, you know, someone buys a
If you really want to know more about fashion, come on down to CITR in the Student Union Building of UBC and pick up some of our merchandise à la mode. Nous avons t-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, and coffee mugs.
But it's also very aesthetically gripping.
To keep you styling in support of the station you love. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Well, actually, is it? Because, I mean, you know, I was going to say because of the cultural vacuum that we exist within, but then, you know, really, fashion today is kind of derived from the European idea of couture. And that's been around for centuries.
Psychedelic thoughts just to see my own humanity. Like what you know about clarity. High off this J, I ain't capping off no celery. Catch a fade of phenomy, cause y'all been acting finicky. Pop another tab, adventure time, I see the fin in me. Curves go forever, so I call that girl infinity. Good weed, clear cups, me, holy trinity. Why you trying to bat when you been swinging in the little league? Sipping little lean, acting, you know what I mean. Smoke before I rap, so my voice sounds raspy. Little boys still trying to fight over libidos. You can have your chance, shit. I'ma get the free throw. Shots gon' be shots, but she still choose me though. Shit, I'm in the stratosphere. High as fuck, looking down, it's hard for me to capture fear. Scratching on their neck, like, how the fuck she passed me? Puff, puff, daddy. Dark Vader, Zanny. Pulled the mask back, I was expecting Jim Carrey. Cul-de-sac, crack, pop, cherry like it's candy. Pop another plan B, cause she was rocking Fendi. But shit, it's all the same. How you going joke around when I was Bruce Wayne? Suck it up, they slurping on me just like Lo Mane. How you going see me?
Now the patriarchy is dead, and we killed it. If you identify as a woman, femme, trans, or non-binary, CITR wants you on the air. You can talk about literally whatever you want as long as you care about it. No worries if you have no experience, we'll train you in everything you need to know. Come by CITR and say hi.
Hey. Hi. Hello.
From 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday to Friday to help us never play Led Zeppelin on CITR 101.9 FM ever again.
Welcome back to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory on UBC's Vancouver campus. You just heard Love Being Used and Cap Chronicles by TG Black, who we are interviewing here on Crowdflip. Woo! Okay, yeah, let's just get back to it, I guess.
And so hearing that about Love Being Used is like sad and interesting, because like, who would have known? I was gonna ask like how the creative process for that went, but I'm assuming you sort of just like explained it, because even the like leaving it leaving it, like not posting it, is sort of its own creative process, because sometimes you do like go back and look at things, and maybe one night at 3 a.m. you're like, oh, maybe this is good. It was like, do you want to talk more about maybe making love being used?
Yeah, definitely. I'll talk, like, I guess the biggest thing that like has shifted recently, like a mutual of mine, like a longtime mutual of mine who doesn't make music anymore and isn't online, so I'm not gonna name them by name, but they were a big, or I think they still are a big, like Earl Sweatshirt fan, and they put me on to like a lot of like people in that realm, like Mike and Mavi and Pink Sifu and like all people like that, and like that really changed like what I liked in terms of my production. Like the Love Being Used beat is an Earl Sweatshirt type beat off YouTube.
Nice.
Is like an Earl Sweatshirt type beat. Like that's really my lane now. I really love like, samples and like, you know, slow, like the kind of emotion that comes like from some rap songs and all of that. And like Mavi's last tape, I don't know if it's Let the Sun Talk, I think that's the name of that project, like just being influenced by that and being like, I love these beats, but I don't necessarily want to rap on them. I wish somebody would sing on them, but I don't particularly love my singing voice. But I was like, oh, let me just do it and like try it out, and it just came out the way it did.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad and like surprised you said that. I didn't know if Earl Sweatshirt would come up at all during this, but because it's very like your music in the same way is sort of like bittersweet. Like it touches on mental health and like topics that are like pretty sad, but it's also like very like it's like very beautiful and you want to like replay it, but it's also sad, but it's also not sad because it sounds so nice. Also, the one thing that like reminds me of like, I couldn't really like pinpoint, no one I guess really can like pinpoint, but like Earl Sweatshirt's voice, and same with Mavi, is kind of like addictive. Like you don't really know why, but like you get in like a phase or whatever, and then you like can't stop listening, and like your voice is very addictive. Like the rasp, you saying that you don't really like your singing voice is also interesting, because your song which is just on SoundCloud,
yeah
that is like really, it really shows your range, because you're singing, you're doing like the background vocals, yeah, mm-hmm. And then you're like raspful like rap voice, and then you're also sort of like singing, you actually are like singing on it in the chorus, mm-hmm. So is probably my favorite song, but it's so short. But I like have replayed it so many times, is because you're using like the Little Ann sample, that is that why it, do you think the sample like would clash with like putting it on Spotify things,
or hell yeah,
okay.
To clear that in like a thousand years,
right? No. Okay.
Wish I could. I don't even think I'm not even gonna try, okay. Honestly,
that's fair. Maybe in like x amount of years,
people behind me hopefully.
Yeah, I guess you sort of touched on your creative process a bit. I was gonna ask, like, in general, if your creative process, like, if there was anything different. You talked before this interview how you've only worked, like, less than a handful of times with, like, producers. I assume you just started by yourself, and then now, like, people are hearing you and working with you.
Working alone, I just, like, get the beats off YouTube, and since I've, like, been using the software for a while, like, I have a general understanding of like what I need to do. Mm-hmm. And I have friends who are producers, and like I've worked with them, and that's fun because, you know, they're your friends and you know them, and you know, it's just kind of like no expectations. But I guess like what's different with working with people who I guess aren't my friends and actually want to work with me for my music makes me so nervous. Mm-hmm. I'm sweating profusely nervous because I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to achieve A, B, C, and I just get in my head and I just kind of like ruin things for myself. So I'm just trying to get over the idea of like, I need to finish something, and rather just like enjoying the process rather than worrying about the final thing I'm trying to produce.
Yeah.
Because I'm just doing it by myself. I'm not thinking about the end song. I'm just kind of like going along. And then once I finish like all my recordings, I usually have like a picture of what the song sounds like.
Yeah.
But all the producers I've worked with are super nice, and they all like have been like, just, you know, speak up. But the problem is I'm such a shy person. Sometimes I feel bad for like speaking up. And so I'm just trying to like, you know, getting better at like voicing what I like think sounds good. Cause it's not that people, I guess, have made it seem like I can't voice my opinion. It's more so me just assuming that I should.
Yeah. Especially if you're like overly critical over time and you get the chance to look back at things, like if like you have like however many hours or like a few days, it's like difficult to like voice
right
versus having time to like go back and listen and like
exactly like when I'm at home I have as much time as I want. I can literally do anything if I want. If I want to leave it alone for like a week, I can. There's no pressure on my end to feel finish something or get to something.
Right. I was saying like in the last episode, I was like, the whole like idea of like people just getting softwares on their own and like being able to record in their room is sort of like revolutionary, because not even in, not even in the sense of like being scared to like kind of put yourself out there, and like it's like a lot of introverts and people who like spend a lot of time alone make like amazing music, and like they never need to even like speak to anyone else because like you don't need to now. So the pandemic was like one thing that I was like, well, even though people were doing that before, but I feel like a lot of people during the pandemic sort of like realized that you literally don't need to talk to anyone to make like the most amazing music. Yeah, you were also saying how your friends are producers, and like you also have produced some of your music, even if it's just loops, but you also have, I think, like I've heard some things where, what says prod by you is out there as well. In terms of like mixing,
I just do that.
Yeah.
You know, YouTube University, really. YouTube University. And then like also having friends who make music who are more like skilled than me. Like sometimes I'll like ask my friends for feedback and they'll be like, oh, you can change this or you can change that. And like, just a mix of that. But usually I just do it myself, honestly.
Amazing.
I did get Cap Chronicles though mixed and mastered by a mutual of mine named Locum. He's a producer, he's also mixing, and like funny enough, we've like been mutuals on Instagram for a long time. So
Cap Chronicles was your first song that was out like everywhere, I think, right? Okay, so that was, what made you, like, decide that that was going to be the one to, like, put?
First?
Yeah.
I felt like it was the most, like, digestible music, I'm being honest. Like, I felt like, I'd put out, like, Love Being Used and Cap Chronicles around the same time. And Love Being Used received, like, good responses, but Cap Chronicles seemed to be, like, the more like liked song by people, and I felt like it was the easiest for like people who didn't know who I was. Maybe if they heard it on shuffle, maybe they'd give it a chance more than they would my other music. Because I felt like, and I was using this website called Submit Hub, which is like way you can kind of like get people to listen to your music and hopefully put them on your playlist if they like them. And I felt like Love Being Used was like, okay, this is easy to listen to, it's chill, hopefully enough people will like it that I can get like a few plays on it.
It's definitely gotten some plays.
Okay,
so going back to like so you grew up in Kenya, and then you moved to Baltimore for school. Was there like a reason? Did you move just because of school? Did you know you wanted to go to school in Baltimore? Or like,
I actually didn't want to come to school in Baltimore. I like kind of graduated high school and I didn't know what I wanted to do at all.
Yeah.
I kind of went to college because like that was the thing to do, and it was honestly a disaster that I'm still suffering from. So I just kind of went into it, and I had family nearby, but I guess like I just didn't have any like friends or any like social interaction. So that just really pushed me to being an introvert and making a lot of music, because I had nobody to hang out with, I had nobody to chill with but myself, just in my room, like just making music.
It worked out. That's like a good side thing. Like any form of like music making, even if it's like just like playing the piano or whatever, that's like never time wasted. Do you play any instruments? That's just like, I'm just curious.
I got like a ukulele in high school, and I've been playing the ukulele. Like there was a point that was like really trendy on YouTube. I don't know if you remember that, when everybody played the ukulele, and I bought one. I played the clarinet in high school, but I just played it to get out of like PE.
That's right. To music. Did you have like a musical background, like family growing up, or no?
Yeah, sort of. Like my grandfather, who's passed now, he actually played like a bunch of instruments. He played like piano, the guitar. I think he played the accordion, but I don't know if I'm tripping. I don't know if I'm remembering it exactly, but
he's like he played. A grandpa would play.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
He played like a bunch of instruments and like just played a lot of music for like my mom and like her sisters growing up. So she also just played a lot of music, not like modern music though. Like I wasn't growing up listening to music like from the 2000s. Like I only really started listening to music, I'd say around 2013, 2012, unless it was like a massive hit, it completely like just passed me by. Because my mom liked to listen to like 70s music and 80s music. So that's what I was into.
Oh my gosh.
Annoying music purists who was like, this new music, take me back to the good old days. Like I was listening to like as far 90s as I'd get is probably like Michael Jackson and people of that level, but I wasn't listening to like the kind of music I make now growing up. Like that's not what my mom, R&B, yeah, but not like rap music. My mom didn't listen to a lot of rap music, so I only really started listening to it when I was like a teenager.
Yeah, when you kind of like got the agency, like got a hold of like what you
wanted
to do. Yeah. That's like exciting though, because, and then also like you're able to like sort of mix. That's why I like asking about like what music you hear in the home and whatever. It's literally like time travel.
Yeah, I like, you know, like any other kid in the world, I was a huge Michael Jackson fan. That's obvious. Who couldn't be? I was also like a huge fan of Whitney Houston, like to an embarrassing level. This is kind of funny, but like I like telling this story because like I like laughing myself. Like when I was like in middle school, I tried to like sing at the talent show, and I sang a Houston song, and I got on stage and I was so embarrassed, I just immediately walked off. For like 10 seconds, my family, my mom's friends had come to see me, like the whole school was there. I came on, sang for maybe like 10, 15 seconds, dropped the mic and walked off.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That's so sad. That's terrible. But also look at you now.
Funny, right?
You can sing.
Like the whispers, like a lot of like just 80s like disco music. And like I used to love Monica like crazy.
Yeah.
I used to love Monica when I was a kid as well. I used to like sit in my mom's car and like blast CDs.
Nice. Yeah. Okay, amazing. Okay, yeah. I was trying to like get like that part of way, I was trying to go way back.
Turn it up. the end of the night, I had to decide. I was thinking
I should make a move, but I won't.
I should
be thinking something is wrong. Knowing if I knew that it won't be right, I don't get down on the first night. I should make a move, but I won't. I know you're probably thinking something is wrong. Knowing if I knew that it won't be right, I wanna get down, but not the first night.
I was chilling, watching your TV. I felt it was coming, the closest that you got to me. Wanted to touch you, wanted to kiss you, and somehow in one night discover I love you. Felt so right, but it felt so wrong. And look how we are carrying on, trying to say things to get me to stay, but my watch tells me it's getting too late. I'm thinking
I should make a move, but I won't.
Oh, I should.
Simone, Jimmy Jones, Missy Elliott, music leader, my relatives never forget my Andre, Poppy, Mikasa, Sukasa, baby, I made an entree, maybe I make your mom's play, maybe we not gonna sleep tonight, in the night you and I laugh about how you Gemini, already fried the chicken, but leftovers was my inner thigh, nah I'm lying, I'm just playing, you can read this book with me, I'm trying to reimagine abracadabra for poverty, like poof I made it disappear, poof I'm made of happiness, everything is everything, but I still haven't paid my rent, ugly is ugly, so Molly makes I'm joyful now when I get down. I'm already up. Molly the water, I keep the drink in the cup. My druggie is druggie, we just some kids out of luck. Ooh, they ain't trying to see me shine. My shine, a bullet on my time, fuck it, I'll live forever now. They ain't trying to see me shine, shine. Bullet on my time, but fuck it, I'll live forever. They ain't trying to see us shine, shine. Bullet on our time, but fuck it, we'll live forever.
Forever and a day, following the fame.
For 7 bags of Skittles on Sunnyside Boulevard. Me sending God is rainbow pretty, mystery and fully charged. Nobody understands my songs. I love every sentences to heal the scar, the rental car, the Malibu, the Shangri-La. Ooh, my cigarette burning, my mama be calling. She worry about me, her girl alcoholic. And I could take a trip to L.A. And I could lose myself inside myself. I hope the Lord forgive me now. Why I still be thrifting, accustomed to wearing hand-me-downs? Ooh, I'm a Cinderella, a cinder block for my family now. I can't build no mansion on top of these shaggy bones. I left my home, I'm on the road, forgive me.
there she go again. Her dark consumerism assimilated in him. Cast a new gospel, occupational sin. Just walked out the church house with happy all in my pocket, a little something to spend. They ain't tryna see me shine, shine. Bullet on my time, but fuck it, I'll live forever. They ain't tryna see us shine, shine. Bullet on our time, but fuck it, we'll live forever.
Forever and a day, following the rain. You know that we live forever. How long will it take to marry the sunset? If it ain't yours yet forever.
We gon' live forever like Aaliyah. Look how they did Rakia. Honestly, I'm just happy I could be here. Hoping I don't offend all my peers. When I say that ass is a mouthful like Coogee Chocolia. Following bright ideas, cause I'm a victim to colorism. They flood the prison, no difference hanging from trees. When anger lead the system, I notice we still ain't free. In this club trying to ban me cause my white tee, I mean like high key. I was chosen to fight in a pair of mics over polite, holding a knife. They hold my life in low regards, hoping I'm hopeless, but I've been in love so long, like Janet Jackson poems. I know I'm terrible, but I'm focused like a variable, emitting pheromones, so I don't gotta bear it alone. Nina Simone biopic made me swear in my home. Gotta call someone so I could tell them on my telephone.
They ain't tryna see me shine, shine. Bullet on my time, but fuck it, I'll live forever. They ain't tryna see us shine, shine. Bullet on our time, but fuck it, we'll live forever.
Forever and a day. Following the rain, you know that we live forever. How long will it take to marry the sunset if it ain't yours yet forever?
Let's see here.
World of Warfare,
God. Oh.
Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody.
God, this is awful.
Isn't there anything?
Listening to the radio these days can be distressing. Fortunately, here at CITR, our programmers choose the music that they play, so our charts reflect what people actually listen to. To find out what's really topping the charts, pick up a copy of Discorder magazine or check us out online at CITR.ca. Unless, of course, you'd rather keep listening to the chart-topping single, Everybody Dance.
What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody dance. Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody...
We don't need to tell you that Vancouver has a housing problem.
Mass evictions.
Mass rent evictions.
Unfair rent increases.
What happened to rent control and protection from unfair eviction?
If these or other housing matters concern you, you may be interested in joining the Vancouver Tenants Union. For more information, visit tenantsunion.ca.
Welcome back. You are listening to Crowdflip on CITR 101.9 FM. Today we are interviewing TG Black. So you just heard The First Night by Monica, Forever by No Name featuring Joseph Chilliams and Raven Lanay, and Rum and Butter by Turinesh. I had to play Monica because she said that she always used to listen to her, and then in that song, No Name says, "No one understands my songs." And TG Black was just saying how it's important because, yeah, no one does understand exactly what an artist is saying, probably ever. But it will resonate in some way, especially now with the internet being a crazy place and people finding things they normally wouldn't without it. Speaking of, I was invasively going through TG Black's SoundCloud, as one does, and I saw she was following Turinesh, who is a Vancouver-based artist currently, and yeah, I had to bring that up, of course, so yeah.
So, just another Canadian connection, a Vancouver connection. I was going through your followers, and you follow Turinesh. I don't know if she makes amazing music, amazing musician. Yeah, I just wanted to make that quick connection.
Like, he's like, when I was in high school, I don't know, for some reason, like a lot of people like in my class knew about her and listened to her music, like literally when I was in high school in Kenya, very randomly. I don't know, I think she's East African and that's why, and I'm also East African. Mm-hmm. So like, just because of that, I was aware of her music when she was like putting it on SoundCloud for some reason from high school. So
Oh my gosh, wow, that's amazing. That's so cool to hear, so interesting.
The internet, lazy beast, like surprise, like.
But is there anything that we can like expect or we can expect?
Yeah, definitely. I just need to like relax on the hating myself and actually, I don't know, sometimes I find it hard to like, because I could have been releasing music this entire time. But like, I find it hard to like listen to my music without bringing all the hate I have about my process and all that like self-criticalness and like carrying that forward. And even when I try and get outside feedback, it's difficult to get outside feedback from people that I know, because I feel like they're kind of just being nice in a way, you know what I mean? So I just kind of like, things are definitely coming. I just need to do like the personal work to like allow myself to like let it go and just be like okay with whatever people think about it or how it does and so on and so forth.
Yeah That's definitely part of the creative process. It is good, but that's a very fair thing to take away and feel like, but yeah, to work on the personal work, because I'm literally like, I'll show people the instrumental stuff, but I don't know, like your voice is
the vocal part is so, I get so embarrassed. It's, you don't like, even
it's like, yeah,
profusely sweating, not even understating. I hate showing, like I walk out of the room, like if I'm showing somebody music, I'll either walk out of the room or tell them put headphones in and don't tell me when you're finished, just come back in and don't do anything.
Well, don't give me a facial expression.
Yeah
I feel that, that's very real. And is it Love Being Used? So you're like,
smoke before I rap, so my voice sounds raspy.
Oh yeah, that's in Cap Chronicles. That's in Cap Chronicles.
Like, was there like a mind shift where you were like, I like this. I like how this sounds.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. There was a point in time when I was like, damn, why does my voice keep doing this? Like, it's kind of like intentional. It's not completely unintentional to the point where every time I sing, it's raspy. But like, when I try to sing a certain way, it always comes out with that rasp, I guess. And it was kind of like irritating. But then I was like, you know, I just have to like, the bar sounded cool.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'll just like own up to it, because like, this is taking me back. Before I released like Love Being Used, I had like a compilation like tape called like something mosquito that I have now deleted. I don't know. I deleted it a long time ago, but it's like a lot of songs of me singing the same way. And I was like, this is annoying, but I just need to like own that my voice is kind of like high up and kind of raspy and kind of like in your ear, kind of like, you know, I just have to own it. And you know, like Young Thug has a crazy voice and I love his voice. So I was like, you just have to like own it.
It is high-pitched rasp as well sometimes. And it sounds like so satisfying. Like, it does work. It definitely works. So that's good that you figured that out. But I wanted to ask that. And then also, yeah, I was saying before how like SoundCloud gives you like the one word tags of like the genres. But sort of like a genre that you could put into like a sentence or something, like of what you feel like your music sort of embodies.
Yeah, I sometimes, this is kind of funny to say, it's always so funny like realizing that some people actually listen to my music and meeting the people who have actually listened to and enjoyed my music. I'd say like, if anything to describe, I kind of like think about my music like if it was in a musical. I'd say that's okay. Kind of about it, like I have a very like intentional feeling. Okay. I'm going, even if aside from the lyrics or something, like I'm trying to evoke, so music for musicals, I guess, if possible.
Okay.
yeah
score a movie,
hopefully. Musical. That would be so fun.
One day Yeah, you're definitely really good at like describing an emotion, which sounds like so basic, but the imagery that you add and like the way it sounds, like it sounds really good. The writing process to you, how is it like? Because did you ever do like poetry, or did you realize that like you're able to write really well? Because do you actually write out stuff, or do you just like freestyle and then realize something will work?
Or right.
Like, yeah.
I like did. Another sad tale. I used to write poetry in high school, and one day my poetry book just disappeared. Yeah, somewhere somebody has that book. I hope whoever they are, please, if it's probably been thrown away, but please come forward. I used to post poetry online anonymously. I can only like find one now, because like I had this obsession with being ultra anonymous at one point. Like I'd create a new account just to post and completely forget about the username. So one day, hopefully I find like all of them. But like, yeah, I wrote like poetry at one point, and I used to, I can't believe I've forgotten one of my biggest influences. I wrote poetry, and then I started listening to a lot of No Name. back when she used to go like as her full name before she changed it, like she had like these couple of songs on YouTube. It was before her album, is when she was like had just released that song with Chance the rapper, I can't remember the name, and like I just learned about her story, about how she was like a poet and became a rapper, and I loved like how gentle her voice was, because they weren't like a lot at the time. I couldn't find like a lot of female rappers who were like doing what she was doing, like with her beats, like how soft-spoken she was, like how complex, and like you could really dig into her lyrics. Like I hadn't discovered like Rhapsody at the time, so let me not act like she doesn't exist, but I'd only just found No Name, and I was like, oh my gosh. And like, yeah, that's kind of like how I got into it, like realizing like, you know, there's the poetry, the rap, to, you know, you can also just like, you can be as personal as you want to be and people will still vibe with it, because like she has this like one bar that like nobody understands all the things that I'm writing about, and she's like, her being comfortable in that, like it's okay, like not every single line has to be a punch bar, not everything has to be like super like clever and like a literature sense, like, you know, playing with wordplay, like you can just talk about what you're going through and it's fine and people will still vibe with it. I can't believe I forgot to mention her. Like,
I'm so happy she came up.
I was obsessed. I was genuinely like very obsessed with No Name at one point, like looking for everything I could find about her on the internet when I started rapping around that time. Yeah. So yeah. Definitely give her major credit for like inspiring me 100%.
Wow, that's so, and the poetry book, I really hope the person, they make sure there's not someone like posting your poetry or something.
It wasn't that good because I just started doing it. It wasn't anything crazy, but it was just like, I'm not doing this again. I'm done writing poetry, and I just moved on.
Well, there's something else, like, I guess it definitely, because yeah, your lyrics are like very poetic. And so, okay, so that's how you started. Is the writing process like sort of similar? Do you still write poetry in the sense, like, I guess just write and then realize it might work for a song?
Lately, I've been finding myself more like focused on like coming up with the melody and then kind of getting the lyrics from that. But I'm trying to get back to just like writing lyrics. But like when I made Love Being Used, I had the melody first and then I wrote the lyrics.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like it's better to just kind of like, I don't know if it's a lie, but I heard this thing about like Adele when I was like in high school, that she just reads her diaries to like evoke emotion from a moment in time. So I've been trying to do that, like just like lately, like if I feel something, I'm just like writing down a bullet point of all the things that are upsetting me right now, and then when I come back to writing, I'm just gonna read that over it, get upset again.
The pushes the emotion, I guess. Being upset is like a stronger, it feels more intense than just like being happy.
Yeah. So I can say for least, yeah, like the sadness and the anger are definitely more intense than like feeling overjoyed.
Yeah, I guess that's like a lot of art, unfortunately, comes sadly that way. Yeah, you feel happy, like I was saying before, even if it's the lyrics might not be the happiest because you're touching on like deep things. But yeah, for the last couple of questions, to bring those up, thank you so much for answering everything the way you did. Thanks for bringing up No Name. I'm really happy that last part came up because because I am like, as you probably can tell, I'm like very much a fangirl of like a lot of things at heart. But I do want to say thank you, and thank you for doing this interview with me.
Yeah, thank you for interviewing me once again.
I'm very honored. I can't believe, have you ever done like an interview?
I did one other interview with somebody, it's on YouTube, but they didn't put my name in all lowercase. And like I specifically spell my name in all lowercase, it's spelled in uppercase. So if you search my name in uppercase, you will find it.
Okay. Oh, also, do you draw?
Yes, I do.
Yes. Okay. So you made like the Cap Chronicles
cover. Yeah. I don't say I can draw, because like if you ask me to like draw somebody, a person, I can't draw that. It's gonna look like trash. I just like doodle because I like, like when I'm bored, if I'm just chilling, if I'm listening to music,
yeah,
I'll just doodle. So like I have an iPad now. So instead of like throwing them in the trash, I just kind of keep them on my iPad.
So good. Yeah. Oh, that's so amazing. Okay, yeah. I wanted to ask that. Yeah, but even your online persona is pretty mysterious as well, if you want to use that word. But yeah, that was also one thing that like really drew me. I was like, oh my gosh, I want to find out more. But it's sort of the, like, you can hear it in my music. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM on unceded Musqueam territory in Vancouver. I just wanted to say thank you to TG Black. If you want to look her up on platforms, on music platforms, on, if you want to find this interview on YouTube, it's all lowercase, which she just told me. All lowercase, tg.blk.
That was the first interview on Crowdflip. If anyone's listening, thank you very much. Even if not, this was super, super fun for me. And again, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, and this was Crowdflip.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, daily grassroots, global, unembedded, international, independent news hour. And this is CITR 101.9 FM.